Osho. Zen, the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 7.
Beloved Book One. After a lecture to the monks one morning, Yaku-san was approached by a monk who said, "I have a problem. Will you solve it for me?" "I will solve it at the next lecture," Yaku-san answered. That evening, when all the monks had gathered in the hall, Yaku-san called out loudly, "The monk who told me this morning he had a problem, come up here immediately." As soon as the monk stepped forward to stand in front of the audience, the master left his seat and roughly took hold of the monk. "Look," he said, "this fellow has a problem." He then pushed the monk aside and returned to his room without giving the evening lecture. When Kaizan was living at Canon Temple, he put up a notice board on which it said, "No questions while sutras are being read." A monk came to visit the master, and just at that time, Kaizan was reading a sutra, so the monk stood beside him until Kaizan had finished reading and rolled up the sutra. Kaizan said, "Do you understand?" The monk replied, "I was not reading the sutra. How could I understand it?" Kaizan said, "You will understand it later." The monk afterwards brought the matter up to Konto, who said, "That old Roshi, what I think is that, properly speaking, those old scraps of paper that were buried are still with us."
Zen is not in the anecdote. It is just like a fragrance around a rose flower. You cannot catch hold of it, but you can smell it. Zen needs sensitivity, not intellectual, not of the mind, but of your total being. These anecdotes from different angles point the same thing. After a lecture to the monks one morning, Yaku-san was approached by a monk who said, "I have a problem. Will you solve it for me?" In the first place, nobody can solve anybody else's problem. Deep down, you don't have a problem at all. because you are the answer, how can you have a problem? The mind is full of problems, but the mind is not your reality. Yaku-san must have been a very compassionate master. He said, I will solve it at the next lecture. He is giving time to the monks to see the point. Because the next lecture means tomorrow, means that which never comes. Drop the problem here. Don't wait for the answer to come from outside sometime in the future. But Yaku-san is known to be very kind. He said, I will solve it at the next lecture. That evening when all the monks had gathered in the hall, Yaku-san called out loudly, the monk who told me this morning he had a problem, come up here immediately. As soon as the monk stepped forward to stand in front of the audience, the master left his seat and roughly took hold of the monk. Look, he said, this fellow has a problem. He then put the monk aside and returned to his room without giving the evening lecture. He has answered. In that immediacy, when he called the monk to come before the audience, as soon as the monk stepped forward to stand in front of the audience, the master left his seat and roughly took hold of the monk. Look, this fellow has a problem. This is a very strange thing. Because one cannot have a problem. One simply is. All problems are imposed by others on you. You are born as innocent. Innocence has immense clarity to see. The wonder that surrounds you, but it has no problem. The questioning will be start at a later stage Because without questions, the mind cannot exist. Mind is nothing but another name of questioning. You can try a small thing as an experiment. If you go backward in time, you will stop somewhere near 3 or 4 years. Beyond that, your memory has not recorded anything. It simply means the first 3 or 4 years you live in tremendous innocence, surrounded by the beauty of the world, of the people, of the trees, of those, not asking why, but simply being together whatsoever surrounds you, enjoying, rejoicing, dancing. Mind has not come in yet. Our whole educational system is based programmed to create the mind in you and to destroy the wonder. To destroy the poetry of your life and to force you to understand the prose and the prosia. Yakusan was right when he told to the Indians that, look, this fellow has a problem. Not even the Bengals have problems. This is a strange fellow. And extending before a silent audience of disciples, the poor monk must have forgotten, at least for a split second, his mind and his problem. This was the strategy of Yakusan. He has given the answer without even uttering a single word, without even asking what is the problem. He has answered. And because he has answered a great problem, he then puts the monk aside. He, by his gesture, says, put the mind aside and return to his room without giving the evening lecture. Returning to his room simply means returning to his inner being. Indicating to everybody, return to your inner being. Now there is nothing else to be said. In a small anecdote, so much and with so much intensity is throbbing. If you can be immediate, you can get the taste of your own being. You can feel this silence. When Kayozan was living at Canaan, he put up a notice board on which it said, "No questions while sutras are being read." The sutras are Buddhist scriptures. A monk came to visit the master, and just that time Kayozan was reading the sutra. So the monk stood beside him until Kayozan had finished reading and rolled up the sutra. Kayozan said, "Do you understand?" The monk replied, "I was not reading the sutra. How could I understand it?" The monk missed the great opportunity of understanding. The truth is not written in the sutra, but in closing the sutra, in dropping all past, howsoever beautiful, when he closed the sutra, he was indicating that when you are finished with all sutras, understanding arises on its own. It does not come out of any book, any scripture, any sutra. That's why he asked a very absurd question. "Do you understand?" The poor monk was just waiting to ask something, waiting that when the reading of the sutra is finished, he will ask the question, but the master is always ahead the disciple. Before he could even utter a single word, Kayozan said, "Do you understand?" The monk replied, "I was not reading the sutra. How could I understand it?" The monk is showing his mediocre mind, showing that he does not understand the language of those who know, is showing his ignorance without even being aware that if Kayozan asks, "Do you understand?" he perfectly knows that he was reading the sutra, not the monk. But being in the close proximity of a master, and the master closes the sutra, he is saying something without saying it. He is saying the moment you are free of sutras, you are free of mind, all your problems will disappear. Please don't ask them. Kayozan said, you will understand later. This moment you miss. I had given you a great opportunity of my presence and my silence. I did everything to show you that the sutra has to be finished. But unfortunately you missed. But don't be worried. You will understand letters. The monk afterwards brought the matter up to Ganto, who said that old Roshi, Roshi means the master. The old master, what I think is that, properly speaking, those old scraps of paper that were buried are still with us. Now he is taking the monk to the same space which he has missed when Kayozan has closed the sutra. He is saying that we are still filled with the old scraps of paper that were buried, but they are still within us. That's why you miss that opportunity, a great opportunity. Otherwise you would have found the answer. You are the answer. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, that poor monk was not lucky enough to be here in Buddha Hall, because my experience is that problems seldom show their face when you are around. They just actually scuttle away, feeling very petty and out of place, and only slowly re-emerge hours later. Manisha, you are right. Because everyone who is here is out of intense longing to know, to feel, to be with me. The moment your heart beats, synchronizes, your problems start disappearing. But you have to be aware, because they don't go far away. They just wait outside the Buddha house. This is the tragedy. When you will be going back out of the Buddha hall, they will jump again. I am reminded of a man who had gone to Ramakrishna. Asking for his blessings, because he was going to Kashi, the holy place for the Hindus, to have a dip in the holy Ganges. Although the same Ganges was flowing by the side of Ramakrishna's hut, the man said, "Bless me, I am going to Kashi to take a holy dip." Ramakrishna was a very simple man, a villager. But a man of great insight, he said to the man, "I have no objection. I can bless you, but I have to remind you about one thing. Have you seen that by the side of Ganges there are tall trees?" He said, "Yes." Ramakrishna said, "When you will take the dip in the Ganges, it is true, all your sins will jump out of your head, but they are not finished. How long you can remain immersed in the water of Ganges? Sometime you will have to come out." The man said, "Sometime? Even 2 seconds are enough. But why you are saying that?" Ramakrishna said, "Remember those tall trees. All the sins are sitting there, waiting for you to come out. Then they jump on you. And this is my experience, that sometimes even other people's sin who are left sitting, because once in a while a person takes a dip and dies. Now where his sins will go? They will wait on the tree for some other idiot and they will immediately jump on you. So rather than depending on Ganges, just take a dip here and remember, by taking a dip you cannot get rid of your sins." The word sin is very significant. Christianity has made it very corrupted. Originally, it means forgetfulness. According to me, except forgetfulness, there is no other sin. And except awareness, there is no virtue. And if you are aware, there are no sins, no problems, nothing has to be solved. Everything is exactly as it should be. Can't you feel this holy Ganges of silence you are all drowned in? But when you get out of the Buddha Hall, be very careful. Don't let your old mind and your old self takes possession of you. It is waiting there. Just by the side of the bamboos. I have placed bamboos around the Buddha Hall so that your problems, your sins can have a resting place. Avoid, let them rest there. They cannot do any harm to the bamboos, particularly to the bamboos, because bamboos are so hollow, they will get lost into the hollowness of the bamboos. Meanwhile, you escape to your inner room. The bamboos are asking for few laughs. Even the clouds are not silent. Few laughs before we enter into our daily meditation. A new age musician from California is convinced that wild animals have a friendly, loving nature which will respond to beautiful music. To test his theory, he goes to the African jungle, finds a clearing in the forest, and starts to softly play his guitar. Within minutes, from out of the jungle, animals of all shapes and sizes begin to appear. Monkeys, snakes, giraffes, zebras, lions, and hippos all are sitting together in the clearing enchanted by the soft music. Suddenly there is a banging and scratching in the bushes, and an old crocodile comes lumbering out of the forest. He stops, looks at the guy, opens his huge jaws and snaps, follows the poor musician in one bite. The other animals are furious. "Look here, you idiot," roars the lion. "We were enjoying that." The crocodile looks at him blankly, puts a hand to his ear and says, "What?" At the Russian Intercontinental Nuclear Missile Control Center, a drunken soldier is dusting the missile control panel. Suddenly an enraged Russian general comes puffing and panting into the room. "What are you doing, you son of a bitch?" He shouts, "I am dusting the control panel." Hiccups the soldier drunkenly. "Okay," snaps the general. "Then where the hell has England gone?" Henry the gallant Frenchman has a new girlfriend called Sylvie, and he is crazy about her. One afternoon, Sylvie is waiting for him in bed in her Paris apartment. When Henry comes in, he is overcome by passion, takes off his hat and throws it out of the open window. Then he takes off his new coat and throws that out too. Sylvie shrieks with delight. Then Henry takes off his shoes and throws them out too. "Henry! Sherry!" cries Sylvie. "What are you doing? Don't throw away your beautiful new clothes." "Do not worry, my darling," replies Henry. "By the time I'm finished, they will all have gone out of fashion." After he has left the White House, Ronald Reagan is still hankering for public office, so he decides to run for sheriff in a small rural community in California. He sets out to visit all the farms in the neighborhood and carries a notebook to mark down the results of each visit. At one farmhouse, as he gets out of his car, he is met by Grandma Gittleman holding a broom. Grandma takes one look to see who it is and starts shouting, "Get out of here, you bum!" "Wait," says Reagan, "I just came to ask if you would vote for me as county sheriff." "Vote for you?" scoffs Grandma. you are not fit to walk the streets. You should be locked up. Now get lost. Ronald Reagan gets back in his car and drives off fast down the road. When he gets a safe distance away, he takes out his notebook and looks up Grandma Gittleman's name. Opposite it, he writes, "Doubtful." Now, the first step of throwing out all your rubbish, gibberish, insanity, rupees, give the beast, and everybody goes crazy. Close your eyes, no movement, just go. This is the holy temple of your being. Lupe gives the beast, everybody dies. Dive totally to the path so you can be divine. Resurrection is possible only if you die to the past. You can live every moment totally new. There is no other life than now. This is the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Go deeper, deeper, deeper. Don't be afraid. It is your own being, your own sky. Lupe, give the beast, bring everyone back to life. Come back. Fresh, alive, radiant, centered. A joy unto yourself, a peace that passeth understanding. This is your splendor, your glory. This is your prayer and your gratitude to existence. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Guru.
Can we celebrate now?